Hey guys, once again, we are back. I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
And today we are expanding our little stretch from the norm and going into the degrees of separation, the different actors and actresses who have worked with both or have relationships with both Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston. So today, I think she's one of your favorites, isn't she?
Yeah, I like a lot of her movies. I like a lot of the people that she works with as a director. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing Mia. Let me see if I can get this right. Wasikowska is how it's pronounced.
Wasikowska. Nice. Wasikowska, yeah.
Her mother, she actually took on her mother's name, not her father's. Which, not sure why that is. I don't know if it's an Australian thing, if it's a Polish thing, if it's just a artsy family thing. Her father is a collagist, someone who makes collages, and a photographer. Her mother is also a photographer. So, yeah, total arts. Not hearing much in the news about either one of our guys today, so we're just gonna skip over that part of the program.
Okay.
Although I do have to say, first off, we're having some trouble with our blog. So guys, if you go to the blog, until I get it fixed, hopefully in the next day or two, if you go to our blog, episodes 44, 45, and 46 will not play. I'm not sure why that is. So more than likely, I will probably pull those off the blog and then re-download them, and hopefully we'll be able to fix the problem, whatever it is. When I pull them up on the machine that we use to record them, they play fine. So hopefully it's not a corruption in the files themselves. It's just a transmission issue. So.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
So I will be taking care of that. ASAP, new job, you know, actually living life. So lots of stuff to do and not a whole lot of free time. So I'll get to it, I promise. And Carrie, I know you have a lot going on too. You're always busy.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah. We're ending fiscal year. Everybody that's in the know knows what September is. It's apparently not just my industry, but a lot of people. It's September 30 is the day.
Yeah, that is D-Day for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Mia, let's go ahead and get into it. She has that classic porcelain skin, blonde hair, beautiful. She does a lot of period pieces. I was looking into, you know, into her life and stuff. She has 28 movies under her belt right now. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, for somebody that's 32, that's
yeah.
Insane.
Really? She did not even start acting until she was 15, almost 16.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, she's done a whole lot in that, you know, what, 16 years? Definitely. The one thing that stands out about Mia, she did all of this on her own. She has no ties. None of her.
From that early age?
Yeah. She was born in 1989, October 25th, so happy birthday a little bit early, Miss Mia. She studied ballet. Wanted to be a prima ballerina. She studied ballet, and she is a perfectionist, like one of our other guys that we know, Mr. Hiddleston. She, from the time she was 9, she spent 35 hours a week in the ballet studio, as well as going to school full time, maintaining, if not perfect grades, close to them. She totally dedicated herself. Some injuries, some issues, made her dream of being a ballerina kind of a moot point. So she started looking at acting. The reason she started looking at acting is because she started noticing, shall we say, human imperfections.
Okay.
Problems in society, in government, in equality, in just in society in general, that needed to be addressed. And she did not see that there was enough being done. So she was very impressed with some of the Australian film actors and decided to go that way. So, Carrie, if you were 15 and decided you wanted to be an actor, what would you have done?
I would have moved to the big city, gone to New York or Los Angeles, probably.
Okay.
Now, then I would have to emancipate myself from my parents, so I probably wouldn't be able to do that.
Right, so there's a whole lot of issues there.
Right. Well, you know, her parents, I'm sure, were supportive.
Oh, absolutely,
they
but...
They didn't have to move, I guess. Well, I don't know. Where was she raised?
Australia.
I mean, what city? Was it a big city?
It starts with a C.
Well, Canberra, right.
That's it. Thank you.
And that's pretty big. You know, you can kind of, find agents and film studios.
Right, but would you even think about finding an agent at 15?
I mean, you know, I guess it would come to me, but I don't think I'd be self-actualized and have the willpower enough at 15 to go out and forge my own career by myself, find my own agent, make all the calls.
Oh, yes.
You know,
that
I'm too
is.
Busy, you know, going to the mall.
Right.
You know, right.
Typical teenager. Yeah, no, that is exactly what Mia did. She got on the phone and she started contacting. There were 12 agents in her area. She contacted all 12 and was ignored by every single one of them except one. Now, the one that contacted her actually contacted her to say, hey, we appreciate your interest, but, you know, we have no interest.
Nah, right.
Well, she refused to take no for an answer. She bugged the hell out of them until they finally agreed to take her on. Within 3 months, she had a spot on an Australian TV show. It's called All Saints. She started there in 2004.
Okay. So it's basically kind of an Australian TV production.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a TV drama, like House or I'm thinking 80s, sorry. God, do they still do, like, regular TV dramas now?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
None comes to mind, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm nothing but like daytime soaps, and I never watch those, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, NCIS, that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, usually they're drama shows, but they're, you know, there's a sub-drama, like, you know, or genre, like it's a cop show.
Right.
Or it's a hospital show.
Right.
It's a drama.
Yeah, I'm not sure what All Saints entailed, but she started work there with them in 2004. By 2006, she had landed her first big screen role. Now, this movie is, it's Australian, recorded, or filmed and produced. I have got to find a copy of this movie because it sounds absolutely awesome. It's called Suburban Mayhem.
Love the title.
Oh, yeah. And this woman decides that her father is standing in her way. She has a child. She's living in her father's house, so she's going to kill her dad.
Wow.
She does not have the title role. She is not the lead character. But this film looks like something that I would definitely have to check out.
Yeah, it sounds like something I'd be interested in.
Oh, yeah. And every single movie that I've found that she's in, there's like, oh, wow, I got to see that. Wow, that's neat. Very cool. She said that the reason she got into acting was to explore human inequity imperfections, and to highlight those things that people need to be aware of. So it kind of explains some of her different roles in like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, sure.
It's a fun movie, but if you really look past the whole fun, you know, crazy kind of whatever happens thing, there's a very, very serious underlying message in the movie. You know, don't discount those random things that you think, you know, those odd happenstances. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
But she was also in, and since we're doing the degrees of separation, she did the Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass with Johnny Depp. She was also in Crimson Peak and in one called Only Lovers Left Alive with Tom Hiddleston. Now, have you seen Only Lovers Left Alive?
Yeah. In two different kind of parts, and I never caught the ending. But I loved it. I really loved it for Tilda Swinton, personally. That's what
Oh, she is the master, yeah. Is she not? But yeah, as a matter of fact, in Only Lovers Left Alive, Mia plays Tilda Swinton's younger, quote, sister.
Right.
So, yeah. And yeah, she gets to play the vampire and the kind of goof-off, not really taking care, expecting everyone else to take care of her kind of teenage role that you see so often. But this is a totally different circumstance considering they're vampires.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, that was actually a stretch for her, she said. But okay, what is your favorite role for Mia?
You know, it'd probably be, the first Alice movie.
Oh, really?
Really would.
Over Crimson Peak. Okay.
Yeah, you know, by the time Crimson Peak had come, she was in Crimson Peaks.
What?
I like her a lot. I kind of like her. Whenever she does the independent stuff, it's pretty interesting. But when it comes down to it, the major stuff like Alice in Wonderland.
Through the Looking Glass.
Through the Looking Glass, Crimson Peaks. She always plays like the young girl that's just kind of bewildered and, you know, just like looking around.
Oh, that
you
is.
You know what I mean?
It's so funny that you should say that.
All of her other stuff, she's really, really deep, but she gets into these, and she does that very well. That is a fantastic niche for her.
But, she would disagree.
Well, her other movies, like I said, you know, she was awesome in, she was in that movie Defiance.
Yes.
And she basically played, it was like World War II based off a true story about how these people lived, hundreds of them, in the forest. It was a Daniel Craig movie.
And went on a suicide mission to save the resistance.
Yeah, and she kind of, you know, there's a war going on, and she was a kid, and she was looking around just like, oh my God, you know, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, well, one of the quotes I picked up is she was quoted as saying, "It's so unsatisfying to play a nice, sweet girl. It's so dreadfully boring and almost painful. I like to play characters who have their own fire."
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's really funny that you would say that would be her perfect spot would be.
But you know, she did The Kids Are All Right. I remember seeing that a few years ago when I was in Annette Bening and Julianne Moore, and she was freaking awesome. You know?
There's another one that she's in. It's called Rogue.
Yeah, the alligator movie.
I didn't know about this. I want to see it.
Yeah. It's got Sam Worthington.
Yep.
He's a good, he's kind of an unappreciated.
Underrated.
Action hero. they don't give them a lot of credit.
Right.
You know?
Right. Now, did you know that she is also a director?
I did not know that.
Yep. She has a... Her first directing debut was in an Australian kind of collection of short stories by the Australian writer Tim Winton. It's called The Turning. It was released in 2013. And she directed a couple of the different short films that comprise that movie. So it is, that's not the only one she's directed, but that is the first.
Wow. And she's really artsy.
Oh, she's got such a different attitude, I want to say. She's an activist, but she's quietly so.
Right.
Which I don't know if you can reconcile those two words in your head, but yeah, she she has very strong personal opinions.
Yeah.
About,
well, that used to be
things.
A thing, you know, people would, you know, have their liberal or their conservative bend, and they'd be like, you know, I don't really want to talk about it though.
Yeah,
you
but
now everybody's got to grab the mic and do a thing.
Oh, like, yeah.
I really love her for that too.
Yeah, and I mean, she just stays true to her own thoughts and philosophies and refuses to support anything that does not support her own personal ideals. I've got another quote here, actually. When they asked about her starring in Alice, it's never been about the blockbusters and making huge amounts of money. It's always been about wanting to do projects about the things that I think are important to be out there. Because there's a lot of stuff that probably doesn't need to be. I mean, I get it. And she's done a lot of period pieces. She's done Jane Eyre. Madame Bovary.
Madame Bovary, yeah.
She's done a couple of... Crimson Peak was actually a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Oh, geez, what was it called? That it was a movie that she did. That Southern. What's it called?
Oh, which one?
I have to look it up.
Which one?
That Evening Sun.
That Evening Sun. And she did one with Star Twilight. I can't call his name right now. Oh my goodness. The vampire from Twilight. Edward.
Oh, Pattinson.
Yes, him. Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
She did a movie with him called Damsel. Now, that one came out in 2018, I believe.
Yeah.
That one looks like a fun kind of movie. It's basically in Mia and Robert's own words, it's love without consent.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, it's like the love story happened way before, so you don't see the love story, and by the time you catch up with the two characters, she's no longer in love with him, but he's still in love with her, and he tracks across the country to go find her and save her and all this stuff. Yeah, it's love without consent. I was like, you know, that's about the best phrase I think I've heard.
Love without consent.
In a while.
Yeah, she does a whole lot of period pieces.
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot.
Well, she has that face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeez, actually, Defiance, now that I think about it, that was a freaking period piece. That was World War II. Yeah?
Yep. And, I mean, yeah, she's got that classic look.
Yeah.
So.
Jeez, The Man with the Iron Heart was a period piece.
Yes.
So many.
You're looking over her filmography?
Yeah.
Like I said, when I was looking over it, it's like, some of these movies I'd heard of but never seen. Some of them I had never even heard of. But most of them look like something that I would really enjoy watching.
Yeah. Yeah, Amelia was the story of Amelia Earhart. She was in that. That's a period piece. I've never heard of it.
Oh, and I was fascinated with Amelia Earhart when I was younger. So
was Hilary Swank?
Yep.
Richard Gere?
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Am I mistaken, or is Ewan McGregor also Australian?
I think that Ewan
is... Or is he English?
Ewan is Scottish.
Scottish, all right.
So Ewan. Ewan.
So I was off all the way around. Not a strange thing for me here lately. Now, she worked with Nicole Kidman on the movie Stoker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nicole was quoted as saying later on that Mia was always reading in between takes. You know, she always had a book with her. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, younger than me anyway. I'm thinking romance novels, Danielle Steele, Nora Roberts, you know, maybe Stephen King, you know, something like that. Oh, no. Oh, no. Anton Chekhov, David Mamet, Tennessee Williams. Those are the kinds of things that Mia would bring to the set to read in between takes.
Nice.
No wonder she and Hiddleston got along so well.
Yeah, she's really, she's into some bookish. You get the, they talked about a lot of the films that she grew up with, apparently films and movies and things like that were a thing in her home. And you're looking over some of the things that inspired her, and I'm like, man, that's, you know, really intellectual kind of
very
films.
Deep, yes. Well, yeah. She stated in one of the interviews that I saw that one of her earliest memories was her older sister taking her, waking her up and taking her down the hall to see that her younger brother Kai being born.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the kind of, and I get it. I think it's great. Kids ought to be involved with the new child from the very get-go, but I don't know that I would have wanted to see a younger sibling being born. That's just no.
Wow, yeah, right.
But, I mean, she understood where, you know, what it was about. And, I mean, it was a very touching family moment for her.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's pretty deep. Like you said, I wouldn't have done it, you know, I'm sure as a kid, but.
Yeah, really, not only are you seeing your mom essentially naked, you're seeing things that you should not have to comprehend for years.
Like, wow. Yeah. I had my own problems with that. The buzz.
Hey, you have kids of your own. You're telling me you didn't see either one of them being born?
I did, but it's something you don't unsee. It was definitely something crazy.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Come for the birthing, stay for the slab of placenta dropping out of the.
Oh, God.
That was really something. Anyway.
All right. Let's move on. She was quoted as saying something else that I can really understand. I live way out in the country, and there is nothing in walking distance. So I get what she's saying. She says, quote, I have this funny thing that if war breaks out or if anything catastrophic happens, or anything catastrophic goes down, I want to know that I can walk home. I'm like, hey, I get ya. Yeah. She always gets hotels close to where they're filming. She always gets, you know, anything that she does, she wants to make sure she's essentially walking distance from everything. So, I get it.
Yes.
All right, you're laughing.
No, I get it too.
Oh, and one more connection with Johnny Depp.
Okay.
In 2010. Now, she got the role in Suburban. Suburban was released in 2006, so that would be 2005. So she's about 20 in 2010.
Okay.
She came in second, tied with Johnny Depp, as the highest gross, second highest grossing star of 2010.
Really?
At age 20.
Wow.
Guess
that
who,
is a hell of an accomplishment, and wow.
Guess who came in first?
2010, gonna take a shot. 2010.
No fair using your phone.
No, I'm not. Clooney?
No. DiCaprio.
Ah, okay. Sure.
If I'm not, is 2010 The Great Gatsby, or was that later?
I don't know, but he did like The Aviator and
right.
The Gatsby and right around that time, so yeah.
So yeah, they Johnny Depp and Mia both came in second under DiCaprio in 2010. I thought that was like just super intense, man. At 20 years old, you are the second highest paid actor in the world. What do you? Where do you go from there?
Yeah, right.
You know, it may not be all about the money, but hey, apparently doing what you love makes the money roll in, so.
Yeah, right. You know, if it's something you love and you get paid hugely doing it, then.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm still waiting on somebody to pay me to sleep. But,
right.
That's something not happening yet. Still working on it, though. You know, there's got to be a niche out there somewhere.
I want $50,000 every time I take a picture of my feet.
Oh, there you go.
Super easy.
Oh, yeah, that's what they tell you.
Yeah.
Now, when she, her breakout role that actually brought her to the forefront, here in America at least, is her role in Alice in Wonderland. And I mean, there were lots of actresses that were considered for this role that, and I ended up going with Mia, a relative unknown in the States. The reason Tim Burton picked Mia is he said she has an old soul quality, quote unquote, about her. He said, you're witnessing this whole thing through her eyes. It needed somebody who can portray, who can subtly portray that. Apparently Mia was the one.
Okay.
And of course she absolutely adored Tim. Once she started working with him, she said he's the best director that she has ever worked with. You know, he was very easy to understand. He didn't, like, get upset and crazy when things did not go as he planned. It was just very laid back and very easygoing during the entire film shoot.
Yeah, you know. So, I really do think that I love her independent films. And, you know, the Alice films, you know, the Burton films, and her doing the Guillermo del Toro,
yes.
You know, the Crimson Peaks. It didn't feel like she broke out a whole lot. You know, you really, in my opinion, anybody could have done that in a way. I really kind of think so. Or you could have cast any number of people, and you would not be saying to yourself, well, you know.
I'm sorry.
But that being said, she's working with Del Toro.
Uh-huh.
She's working with Burton. You know, I mean, I'm sure she wanted to work with these amazing directors. And, you know, working for Tim Burton, I don't care who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Quentin Tarantino. Maybe, you know, Burton. And a few other directors where people are like, oh, my God, I'd love to have the experience of working with that guy. Del Toro, he'd be one of them. And I like to think that
she didn't do it for the check. These were high profile movies, but she ended up basically doing those roles of the bewildered, you know, young girl
ingenue
in these situations. It's because it was a burden or a Del Toro kind of thing.
It was, and the quote I have about what she says about Alice. The reason that she auditioned for the role, Alice has a certain discomfort within herself, within society, and among her peers. I have definitely felt similarly, so I could really understand her not fitting in. Alice is also an observer who is always thinking a lot, and that is very similar to how I am. So, you know, she saw a kinship with Alice when she read the script, and... You know, it was something that I know her big focus for a long time was the younger female generation. You know, you've got a lot of movies out there about high school and the jock and the geeky, bookish girl. And, you know, you've got a lot of that. But you don't have a lot of fantasy about the girl who just doesn't fit in. Not really. You've got the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, but that's pretty much it. So she wanted to take it a bit further and, you know, be able to say, hey, you know, we all feel this way. She did not have the traditional family upbringing, but she still had enough of it, you know, to realize that, you know, these are feelings and thoughts that a lot of us do share. It's one of the things she wanted to bring to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. She does like to make statements, I think.
She does, and she...
And change things.
She does it with her acting instead of with, you know, she doesn't podium thump. She doesn't get up and scream and yell about how everything is so wrong and we need to change this and we need to fix that. She's very subtle. But she does make a statement.
Yeah.
But yeah, she has... and in Crimson Peak, you said that anybody could play that role. You could cast anybody in that role. I beg to differ.
Okay.
I don't think anyone could have brought the depth and the believability to the screen that she did. You know, she recognized the fact that she could see ghosts when she was young.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But even still, when she sees them in the Sharp Mansion, it doesn't automatically trigger that that's what she's seeing. Because if it did, she would not have screamed for Thomas and told him there was someone in the elevator, there was someone in the hall. You know, it didn't really click with her.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think she did an amazing, amazing job with Crimson Peak.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody else could have done as well. Really, I don't.
Yeah, I can think of
and you know what's really funny is when we decided to do Mia, okay, she is not one of my favorite actresses.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm jealous, but you know, aside from that, she is just not one of my favorite actresses. And now here I'm arguing her point, and you're the one saying no.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
I don't know. What's her name? Saoirse Ronan. The girl that, she probably would have been really, really good.
I don't know who that is.
What was she? She was in the original Hannah. You remember Hannah?
No.
Yeah, Hannah.
No.
She was in all kinds of stuff. Actually, Emma Stone,
maybe? She actually replaced Emma Stone. Emma Stone was cast as Edith in Crimson Peak and had to bow out due to schedule conflicts. So
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she replaced Stone in Crimson Peak.
That is... What? That's kind of crazy.
Tom Hiddleston replaced Benedict Cumberbatch.
Wow. What? Wow.
Yeah. He was originally cast as Thomas Sharp.
Wow, nice connections there.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on. It's it's a fairly closed society, so they're going to be interconnections, but yeah.
Okay, she was in Mary, Queen of Scots. It came out in 2018. Did you ever see that one?
Nope.
Let's see.
I know. I am so illiterate.
Grand Budapest Hotel?
Nope.
Hannah? No, I haven't seen
Guys, Hannah. Just for clarification,
City of Ember.
Nope.
Okay.
Just for clarification, so I don't seem like I'm a complete idiot.
Well, no, you're not.
I only watch movies when I, you know, every now and then I don't watch TV. So I don't see a lot of the advertisements. I don't get a lot of the hype, you know, unless it's on one of my streaming services and it just happens to pop up. I don't see it, so forgive me.
Well, you also have to remember that I'm a freaking, like, sorry, you know, I can't wait to watch the coverage from the Cannes Film Festival to see what independent French movie is coming down the, you know, let's go the other way too.
Right.
Carrie likes watching the movies that possibly 10,000 Americans total have seen.
Maybe.
Right.
But see, that's cool though. You actually understand and recognize these different titles and I'm sitting here going, duh. No, sorry. I mean, you know, I had to be told what the Cannes Film Festival was, so.
You know, Jennifer Lawrence would have been great. She would have been good in those.
Oh, yeah. I still think they did the right thing with that.
But, yeah. And another thing, if you ask me, Mia looks a lot like she would be Gwyneth Paltrow's younger sister.
That is one of the top five questions asked about Mia on the internet.
Right.
Is if she is related to Gwyneth Paltrow.
She looks like her.
The answer is no.
No.
But yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
Shoot, I'd like to be related to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've watched dozens of interviews and YouTube little pop-ups and stuff concerning Mia, and that was one of the... She was on a show called Wired. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, they do top five questions, and it was her and Robert Pattinson. And one of the top five questions for Mia was, is she related to Gwyneth Paltrow? So, of course, you know, she did date the kid from Now You See Me. Eisenberg?
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, she was dating him in 2013. Don't know what will happen with that. I cannot find any information on who she's dating now. So, you know.
Probably keeps it pretty close to her. Yeah,
close to the vest.
Sure.
Yeah, and, you know, she's also another one that, which is very rare nowadays, you don't see her on the news getting arrested. She hasn't trashed a hotel room. She didn't get pulled over for a DUI. She didn't try to walk out of Walmart without paying.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, we're not going to go there. But yeah, she's maintained a very professional appearance, even on her off time. So
she does look very put together.
Mm-hmm. Well, she is. She reminds me of someone else I know. Like, she's a child that, like, was born an adult and just got more adult every year. So, yeah, she just seems very put together and very aware of the fragility of fame and fortune and stardom and life.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why she picks and chooses what she wants to do. She, you know, she wants to do movies that, you know, have an impact, even if it's just a little one. So, yeah, I totally get it. I think she's an amazing actress, even though I'm still jealous as hell of her. Who wouldn't be? I mean, two films with Johnny, two films with Tom, and she got to play a vampire. Come on! All right, if you could put her in any, like, think about the books you've read, different things, what would you see as Mia's perfect role?
You know, in a way, she's kind of already perpetuated it with, like, Jane Eyre and Madame Bovary. You know, it's going to be a period piece.
Right.
Though, you know, I could kind of see her in, and they've already cast it, it's already too late, but she would have been awesome in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh my God, yes.
You know?
Oh, she would.
You know, she likes that kind of stuff. You know, with the, it's kind of Del Toro, and there's a little humor in it. It's kind of like Alice, but her actively kicking ass. You know, she had that ballet background, and those girls, like the girls in that movie, they had some pretty wicked fight scenes.
Oh yeah,
I'd like to see Mia do something like that.
Something, you know, physical. Something, yeah, you know, physical instead of something that's mostly cerebral.
I got one for you.
Okay.
How about we connect one more MCU person and she ends up in a big role in the third Sherlock Holmes movie?
Yes.
I think that would be great.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. You know, yeah. What? You know, another role that I would have loved to have seen her in. Unfortunately, the movie is already in the can and we're already watching it.
Right.
But she would have been perfect as Black Widow's little sister. I mean, think about it. Total action adventure. Man, she would have kicked ass.
Yeah, if it weren't for the fact that I love what's her name? Pugh? Is that her name? Yeah. Is it Elizabeth Pugh? Eleanor Pugh?
Yeah.
That girl's the shit. She was in this movie that blew our minds called Midsommar, and everybody got kind of freaked out by it. It's kind of a horror movie, but it all takes place in the daytime, and yeah. It all takes place in, like, the Slavic countries where they're, like, true pagans.
Oh, yeah, I will not be watching that. If it's a horror, if it's a horror suspense and it happens during the daytime, yeah, that is one I will not be watching.
There's lots of, like, bright sunlight, lots of beautiful lush green and blood just spattered all over it.
Yeah, I have a problem with the dark already.
Well, I think it's still on Amazon Prime, but I'll that was kind out. Of her debut, and people were like, oh my God, who is this actress? And then she ends up being Black Widow's little sister, and I'm like, oh my God, it's her. It's the Midsommar girl, are you kidding me? So, you know, I could see Mia maybe being like a Red Room, you know.
One yeah, of the Red Room girl.
The Red Room, but sorry, leave you in there. Love her as well. She's going to be great. You know, when they're doing those new movies, they're basically doing the new, and I don't know what the latest is, but apparently they've kind of talked about the new Avengers that are coming out.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that, too. But, I mean, I'm sorry. How can you do Avengers without Iron Man? No.
Yeah. I guess they're looking back at the comics. You know, the comics, they did it. You know, they're like, oh, so, you know, we have total license to do it without Iron Man because they didn't have Iron Man
all the time in the comic. I'm like, well, good luck with that, you know?
Well, right. But see, the thing about it is comic book readers and movie watchers are two totally different animals. We like the same visuals. We like the same people. We want to see the same ones in their roles. And when you screw that up, you know, Avengers without Iron Man, we kind of get our backs up and we're like, yeah, no. Not watching it. Not going to happen.
Well, the guys that they got picked, you know, I don't know. I remember back in the 80s and 90s, they had Justice League comics and they didn't have Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman in there. It was a bunch of other dudes, and people were like, eh. You know, and I think the same thing kind of happened with the Avengers. The Hulk ended up leaving, you know, right. Iron Man left, and people were just like, meh.
This is not the Avengers anymore.
And it went on for decades.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of the MCU, I gotta ask, did you ever finish watching Multiverse of Madness?
I didn't.
Oh, all right.
I didn't. I need to finish it. I need to.
Nope. That's fine. We're gonna watch it when I come down.
Cool. Yeah, good idea.
Because let me tell you, I have watched that movie like 4 times over the last like 2 weeks.
Oh, hey, Love and Thunder's on there too.
Yes, I know.
Haven't seen it.
Okay, you know who has seen it?
Who?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
You know who has seen it?
Who?
My buddy Gene. My sister talked about that movie so much that when he, last weekend, he had some time, he went ahead and pulled it up, downloaded it, and watched it. I'm like, you're kidding me. He's like, nope, I watched it. It ain't all that. I'm like, okay.
Oh, it is like it,
Well, he said it wasn't a Thor movie. And that's the same thing my sister said. It was not really a Thor movie. It was a very humorous. It was a great movie on its own. But to make it a Thor movie, there were a lot of expectations that were not met.
I see. Okay.
So, but yeah, she said, my sister commented that Chris Hemsworth literally just blew the roof off as far as his own comedic style throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And, Janine, this is for you. She also suggested that we do a Hemsworth show.
That's a lot of material.
No kidding, right?
No.
But that's okay, because I can, like, pull a picture of his ass up, and, you know, we'll be fine.
Contemplate it.
Hey, I'm sorry, I told you. He's got the perfect ass, except he just needs a little bite mark, like, right there on his head. And I'm offering my services just in case.
Most excellent.
But yeah, so Hemsworth would be another one we might do, even though I can't find a connection to him and Johnny just yet. I'm sure there's one. I just haven't found it.
I wonder if there's a connection between Scarlett Johansson and Johnny.
You know, I was actually very surprised that she did not end up on the list of the many loves of Johnny Depp. Just because she is such an outstanding woman and she's so gorgeous. Johnny does not date dogs. So.
No, he likes his pretty girls.
Oh, yeah, and she is one of the best looking ever. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, but
from, you know, and it sounds kind of piggish, but when it comes to like the MCU babes, she's probably somewhere like number 3, and that's pretty high.
3?
That's pretty high.
Please, who's number 1?
Well, if we're talking in character or the actual
actor, actress. Right, you said she's number three, so you got to have two that are at least better looking than she is, and I can't think of not a one.
So, there is, and she's, and a lot of people would probably disagree with me, and sorry.
But hey, I go number two. Huh? I said people can disagree. They can call us up on the phone line and tell us just how stupid we are.
Well, you know what? I'm going to throw this out there. I think number two is the young woman that played Mantis in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, all right.
Her name is Pom... What's her name? Pom Clementif. I think she's French.
She's French?
Yeah, Clementif. Yeah, Pom.
She's French?
And she's gorgeous.
I could have sworn she was Oriental.
Yeah, well, I think that she... I think she has that. Yeah, okay. She was just born there.
All right, actually. So French actress. Okay, well, she's got all kinds of recommendations just because she's French. So,
yeah,
okay, so who would be number one?
She is cute. Yeah, number one would be Jamie Alexander, and she plays Sif in the Thor movies.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Scarlett Johansson beats out Sif. Nope, Scarlett Johansson beats out Sif.
She is awesome.
I'm sorry.
She would have made a great Wonder Woman.
She would have. She would definitely have made a great Wonder Woman. Man. Too bad they're two totally different universes.
I know. And hey, Gal Gadot did pretty good.
Man, now Sif is wonderful. I love her. She is amazing. She's a great actress. Oh, man. We did the... one of the Thor movies, she actually fell and broke several ribs, dislocated a spine, one of her vertebrae got dislocated, dislocated her shoulder, and a couple of different things. She went to the hospital, they patched her up, and she was back on set the next day.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Oh, yeah. She is hardcore. She is all about doing what needs to be done. So yeah, thumbs up to her.
Actually, I'm gonna put Haley Atwell, the woman that plays Agent Carter in the Captain America movies and the show. She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous, but in the movie she's too dated.
Yeah. But in real life?
Okay, well, I haven't seen her in real life. I'm not in Hollywood.
She has considerable assets.
Oh, does she?
She does.
All righty then. And I'm surprised Captain Marvel did not feature in your list there.
Yeah, Bree's all right. I like Bree is the kind of adventuresome.
She's too much girl next door.
I like her. You know, she was in Scott Pilgrim, and I loved it. It's one of my favorite movies ever, and she was one of the loves of Scott Pilgrim.
Right. Oh, she was also with Tom Hiddleston in Kong.
That's right.
So, yeah. Matter of fact, all three of the leading actors in Kong have MCU characters. Tom Hiddleston.
That's right.
Tom Hiddleston is Commander or Captain James Conrad. And then you have Samuel L. Jackson, who I can't remember. He's the
His
name in Kong, but and then you have Bree, who's the photographer in Kong and plays Captain Marvel. So
Yeah. You know what also on that list I would be remiss if I didn't throw Tilda Swinton in there. Tilda Swinton's just amazing. I think she's beautiful. Sorry. And you know what? Kate Blanchett was my gothy little heart's desire. She was an amazing villain, and her in that black eye makeup, I was like, wow.
Yeah, she kind of resembled me back in the 80s.
Yeah, you guys did kind of have that kind of,
That whole gothic, fuck you, I'm going to have to kill you now kind of attitude.
Slightly dark makeup, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Wow, we're running up on time here, babe.
Yep.
All right. So, before we go, let me go ahead and pull up our phone number. So, you got a problem with what we say? Give us a call. Definitely give us an opinion. Hey, matter of fact, call, give us your top three Marvel babes. That would be great. Love that.
Quite a list.
Oh, yeah.
You have a lot of people to pick from.
Oh, definitely. And hey, as far as that goes, call us up. Give us your top three or top five Marvel dudes.
There you go.
We can do that too.
We should do that episode.
All right. So what are we doing next week?
Don't know. So what next week? Which actor's turn is it?
Let's see. Oh wow. Now you had to ask me.
We've mixed it up a lot here.
We really have. So pick one.
It's good.
I mean, we always announce. So pick one. We've been doing kind of the 6 degrees of separation. Have you got another? We could do Bettany.
We haven't done Bettany, have we?
No, not at all.
He's like close to both these guys.
Yeah.
He's probably the one that has the closest, it feels to me, the closest.
I don't know, because with the MCU, he played the voice of Jarvis. And he played Vision. So he didn't have a whole lot of interaction with Hiddleston. But yeah, he would probably be one of the closest.
Oh,
so,
you know they hung out. I would hope.
I would hope so too. I mean, really. But
They seem like they would be kind of similar. You know, I know that Bettany is pretty well trained, you know. I mean, Bettany came from kind of a upper middle class background himself.
So did he do it all on his own this time, you know, as Mia did? Or did he have a leg up? Did he have friends and family in the business?
Bettany?
Yeah.
I am thinking that where was he trained? Jeez. It was somewhere huge. and that would indicate
friends and family in the business.
He came from a stage singer, theater teacher, dancing actor, drama teacher.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, okay, so we'll do Bettany next week. That sounds good. I love him. He scares the hell out of me in movies like The Tourist. But
he can be scary, right?
Oh, yeah, and when he plays the bodyguard in Mordecai, oh, my God. He's like, he went from total intellectual driven to one specific point in The Tourist to right balls in Mordecai. It was amazing.
Yeah. You know, and I like him because God, what is this? I'm like talking about the beautiful women. But he's married to Jennifer Connelly.
I know.
And has been since like the year 2001 or whatever.
I know. Man, why couldn't she have been gay?
Maybe she was bi. You never know.
Yeah, and we will never know.
She had a couple of scenes.
In what?
What was the name of that? What, Requiem for a Dream? You've not heard about the end of it with her and the girl and the double dildo?
Oh no, I'm gonna have to watch that as soon as I get off this podcast.
Yeah, look up. Requiem for a Dream, double dildo, and you'll see.
Oh, wow. Jesus, all right.
It was actually not sexy, but they straight up were doing a double dildo.
Nice.
That's a crazy fucking movie.
All righty then. Anyway, moving on. All right, once again, our podcast number is, if I can get my phone to cooperate, because it's not wanting to right now. Come on. Ah, there we go. 765-681-7313. guys, give us a call. Give us your opinions. Give us your top five, male or female, Marvel Universe, or just actors in general. You want to reach us by email, we've got depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. And we do have the blog, depheadshiddlestoners.com. If you want to go the long way, you can go to barryreese.net and hit the link. Other than that, until next week, we will be back. As always, you know, we don't ever go away. It's kind of like a sore tooth. until next time, we are on episode 47, counting down to our end of the year episode, which will be October 27th. And that will be the last episode of our first year doing the podcast. So we're going to do a blowout. I'm not sure what we're doing yet, but we're gonna party. It's going to be great.
Can't wait.
So anyway, until then, be safe, peace and love, peace out. We'll talk to you later.
Later, you guys. Love and peace.
Bye.
Bye.